Hello and happy Easter. This is the Scottish Football Show and here's what we've got coming up. The Bairns blitz their way back to the Championship. The 5% Club fans are back at the SPFL's hottest ticket. And why is there still no Don donning for the Dons? Da-dow-dow-dow-dow-dow-dow. The business end of the season is in full swing, folks. And what an excellent weekend we've had. Yes, it was Easter, but the egg puns will not be continuing. One and done for me. Whether your season has crumbled, cracked, or melted, some fans are eagerly waiting. That's a trick. Waiting on their team for some championship success, let's say. Joining me on the pod is someone who probably thinks chocolate is overrated. She's TNT senior producer Laura Brannan.
Whoa, let's just stop right there. Who on earth thinks chocolate is overrated?
why was the assumption made?
Yeah,
if my waistline has anything to tell you over the Easter break, it's definitely not me.
Oh, mine's gone straight to the hips. So much chocolate. But introducing our next guest from Sky Sports News, a man with his bunny paws on the pulse of everything Scottish football, it's Anthony Joseph.
Hello.
Hello, mate.
How are you?
Not bad. Been a wee while.
It has. No, I had a great Easter weekend. I gave up chocolate for Lent, actually. I do that quite regularly.
If you told me that, I could have said you thought it was overrated.
No, but I don't think it's overrated. I broke Lent. I didn't break Lent. I mean, I finished Lent by having a white cream egg at 8 a.m. in the morning on Sunday.
I actually did break someone's Lent at school once.
Did you?
My mate Brendan. For some reason, I think I needed to grab something from home. And my school was like a 10-minute walk away. So, yeah, it was Lent. He was doing Lent. And chocolate was what he'd given up. And then on the way back from school, like my mum had just given him a boost bar. And he was smashing it halfway through. And he went, oh, fuck. My Lent.
Yeah.
Just wrote Lent. That was funny between us. Maybe not on a podcast. Right, shall we do some funnies? Let's do some funnies. I want to laugh. Now, I don't really need to ask if you have seen the first thing I'm going to bring up, but Rangers went to Hibernian on Saturday and were 3-1 winners, but no one will remember any of the goals because Hibs stole the moment in the most Hibsiest manner possible. This clip has gone viral where I think is it Joe Newell who smashes the free kick and it's Joe Newell who gets hit, is it?
Yeah, Joe Newell gets hit.
It's something special.
Leantis, who wants to take a free kick, a quick free kick, and he just smashes it off Joe Newell's face. He must have only been like, what, 2 or 3 yards away? Off Joe Newell's face, and then it loops over and hits Will Fish in the face, who also falls down. And then if you actually watch it, there's a few clips where you don't see this properly, but if you watch it properly, you see it hits Joe Newell again.
Yeah.
Which it's just brilliant. And if you haven't seen that clip, then you haven't, I don't know where you've been.
It's incredible. They couldn't have done this if they tried it like a million times over. It's absolutely, it's like remember the old clips of the boys doing the, like, heading the ball to each other along the dressing room and then getting it in the bin at the end.
It's kind of like that,
where it must take so much practice to try and make that happen. But the fact that he just did that without even trying is brilliant.
Yeah, I actually quite enjoy, I think even a lot of the clips had the Rangers commentary on it. I think they even said, oh, there's, try to do their best to kind of take out his own players there. Oh, it was a good laugh. It's so cinch. It's beautiful. But another thing that caught my eye, Laura, did you see, we spoke last, in the last pod, we did title it, we're going to need a bigger badge.
Kelly delivered. They brought a bigger badge.
They did indeed, but one that wrapped up.
Yeah, it was a kind of cheeky post from Kelly at the weekend. They were obviously away at Tynecastle playing Hearts, and obviously in light of what happened at the women's game last weekend, or the weekend before, the Badge Gate, where Rangers defaced the Hearts badge, is what they called it in their statement. As a little wee dig, as a little dig, Kelly brought along their kind of carpet had a badge on it, and pretended they were putting it over the Hearts badge, just to make their mark and show that they were there. But yeah, it was a cheeky post.
I liked the fact that we're wrapping up. They've wrapped up, finished. Well, Kilmarnock have now finished top six. That's secured for them, and they wrapped up the mat. It was quite nice. You actually got a mention last week, Anthony, because I noticed on your Twitter post with that whole Badgegate fiasco. You were the one who I saw basically said that the same thing had happened last year.
Yeah, so I mean, I was getting a lot of abuse for this story, and obviously,
Really?
like, it wasn't me.
Rangers fans on Twitter
Yeah,
giving you abuse?
it wasn't me saying this. I wasn't the one angry about it. I was saying what Hearts had said. I actually was sort of in Rangers' following Rangers' stance on this, so I thought it was quite ridiculous. But the Hearts were kicking up a fuss of it, especially so when Hearts released their statement. I was working as well, and in our newsroom, someone mentioned that there's pictures from last season where Rangers did the same thing and Hearts didn't release a statement. And so we looked back in the archive footage from last season's Sky Sports Cup final, and yeah, they were celebrating with the Rangers badge exactly in the same way, the same mat or sticker or whatever it is. And so we went back to Hearts for further comment, and there wasn't any. So I think it was just more to
Appease the
reassure or
fans.
appease fans at that
Yeah.
time. But it did, the wording was very strong, defaced, and yeah, we'll ensure that this never happens again. It was quite bizarre. So I'm glad that Kilmarnock were able to make light of it.
It'll be used, pictures like that will be used forever now. That'll live long in the memory.
Oh yeah, well, it's just going to become normal for Scottish football clubs to take their mats of their club logos and just place it in the middle of the dressing rooms these days.
At the time when
Who
Celtic went to St Mirren Park, was it pre-season? I'd had a friendly there, and they put the Celtic Football Club banner over St Mirren's shop, so it's on their stadium. It's that sort of idea, and that still does the rounds. That picture still crops up.
Yeah, that was cropping up as well. Elsewhere, who I didn't know John Stones had signed for Celtic, Anthony.
Well, David Martindale must have been doing his tactical work. He must have been in overdrive, thinking that he had to try and get his players past John Stones in the heart of Celtic's defence. But yeah, Martindale in his post-match interview, I think it's with Livingston's TV channel, because he didn't say it in any of his interviews with the mainstream press. But yeah, I think it's just it's just a slip of the tongue. He talks about the way he opened up, and the team opened up in the second half, but that allowed Carter Vickers, and he meant to say Liam Scales, but said John Stones.
Because
Not allowed the ball to get away from.
they sound similar.
Yeah, well,
Scales must be delighted, that's for sure.
he must have just been desperate at that time to get back home and watch Man City v Arsenal at that point.
Yeah, actually, that was the 4 o'clock game,
Well,
wasn't
actually,
it?
Stones was injured, wasn't he? So,
Oh yeah,
I
such
don't
a
think
weird one. Like, I mean,
it was a weird one, yeah.
I've got facial blindness. I think a lot of players look the same when they look remotely similar, but they don't look similar. They don't have the same, like, initials. Scales, Stones,
Just caught up in
it's
the moment, Laura.
such a random one.
It's an easy thing to do, get a name wrong, but that's a pretty big one. Especially different league, different team, different level. There you go.
Different nationality, different country, different
Just
everything.
everything's different. Oh, Davey. Poor
Just a
Davey.
centre back. He just named a centre back.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Right, let's wrap up that and move on to some news.
The dogs bark and the caravan passes. The caravan keeps moving. The caravan keeps going.
So, a fan fiasco that's been going on for a little while, and we've had you on the show before, Anthony, speaking about tickets and away tickets between Rangers and Celtic fans, but following talks with the SPFL, Celtic, Rangers and the police, the SPFL confirmed last week that there will be a 5% away allocation in place for next season. But that's subject to all necessary requirements being satisfied at both Celtic Park and Ibrox. So it's about roughly 3,000 Rangers fans and about 2,500 Celtic fans will be able to attend matches, and I repeat, from next season. So, first of all, no, go Anthony. What are the do you know what the requirements are to make this viable?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of it was a statement with quite a strong breakthrough. But there was a lot of loose wording there. It was around 5%. My understanding is that they're not going to be giving 3,000 tickets to Rangers and 2,500 to Celtic. I think it will be the exact same number for both sets of fans, even though there is 10,000 difference in capacity of the stadium. In terms of requirements, I think that is more just to reassure both clubs that there's the safety aspect is there, because both clubs have had concerns lately when it's been 800, which the police actually have said is harder to police when it's 800 compared to the 7,000. So just the way the stadiums are built and the way they have to organise, for example, Rangers fans coming into Celtic Park like 2 hours, 3 hours before the game, they have to close off the area. And allow them to come in, and then they open up the area for Celtic fans. It was quite an operation that was made when it was down to 800 fans. So I think it's more about that, a safe passage to the stadium, the fact that there's enough facilities inside for the specific areas. The thing is, for this is what both Celtic and Rangers give for big European away followings. So, like Feyenoord had it at Celtic Park, like Liverpool had it at Ibrox, Dortmund as well. So, if anyone wants to know what it would look like, have a look at pictures from that game. It does look like a sizable amount of away fans, and it's good. I think it's a real step in the right direction. Hopefully, they will see it through because, like I said, the wording's quite loose. They'll need to agree on an exact figure for the away fans. They'll need to be reassured that the safety measures are in place for both sets of away fans in both stadiums, which are built so differently in different parts of Glasgow. It's quite an operation, and I think the police will take a lot of lead on that as well. And yeah, I do, but I think it's a positive step. I mean, I don't think it can be seen anything other than a positive step. I mean, let's not beat about the bush here as to why the allocations were cut. They were cut because Celtic were winning 5-1 at Ibrox, 4-0 at Ibrox, or winning with 10 men at Ibrox. They were cut for that reason. And then both clubs were in a tit for tat situation and in a standoff. It was either 800, sometimes it was zero. This season it's been zero for the whole season, and it's going to be like that. So, I mean, we talk about selling our game. This fixture is Scottish football's greatest asset. It's one of the biggest rivalries in world football. It is one of the best atmospheres in world football. It's one of the most watched games globally. It's certainly one of Sky's biggest games, if not the biggest. So the people outside of Scotland are not watching this game or the quality of football. They're watching it for the atmosphere. They're watching it for the drama. They're watching it for sort of the explosive nature of the fixture. So I think the traditional 7,000 away fans was a created such a spectacle and sort of separated it from the rest of these kind of derbies. So to take that away, I think Scottish football and this game, this fixture, has lost that spectacle. So to bring back at least 2,500 is going to be a big thing, because
Sure.
they will create a bit of noise. And I think this is just a good compromise, and I think it's a positive step.
But that to me, I mean, you've basically hit it in the head right there. That the atmosphere is a great way to sell our game. But Laura, I guess you're kind of with me. Like, why is it from next season? This is a title race we've not had in over a decade. Why couldn't the plans be? I know Celtic Rangers is this weekend, this Sunday. I don't know why it couldn't just happen now, or even, well, it couldn't probably be for the last game of the season, because then it would be kind of like unfairness. Just why not now?
It's utterly ridiculous that we're in this situation, all of this situation, that we've went this many games without either sets of away fans, that we got ourselves into this situation in the first place. And I know you're kind of saying it's due to the results at Ibrox. I think a lot more goes into it. I think it was also tied in with COVID times. It was tied in with the birth of the Union Bears as well. Essentially, what it comes down to is both clubs were being as petty as each other, and we didn't have a rule in place from the SPFL to stop it from happening. Yeah, we've now got an agreement. It's still not a rule, and it should be a rule that everyone is having to adhere to, even though it's not realistic for maybe some clubs. You can discuss these things on a case by case basis, but the fact we're in this position is a shambles. The fact that clubs, Celtic and Rangers, have operations in place to accommodate away fans every second weekend of the season. So to put it into place this late in the game when there's a fixture in a few days' time, yes, it will be a challenge, but there's still going to be police. There's still going to be, they still know how to accommodate away fans. It should have been, right, all hands on deck here. We're going to make this work, because for the spectacle of our game, the league should have been forcing it in this early to say, right, for the sake of our game and the advert that we're putting on the TV around the world that everyone is going to take an interest in, and you finally agreed, you finally put your squabbles behind you, put this in place right now and get this done.
It's hard because tickets would have been sold already for now, so it would have been hard to implement. So you're right, Lauren, saying it's
That's
just a
true.
shambles from the start, but that's why it can't really happen now. But it's such a shame that we're in this position right now, where everyone can be like, oh, there's a proper title race up in Scotland, and there'll be an atmosphere, but it won't be the one that could be as good. And
Yeah.
Celtic and Rangers fans have to concede that. They have to concede that it's still good to have Rangers support at Celtic Park and vice versa. It's just so much better. But just before we move on, because there's still loads to talk about, it is obviously the first of two final games between the two sides in the league, that is. Do you think it will come down to this game or the final game, Anthony?
I think
For
I'll
the
be.
title.
For the title, I think it'll still be the final game. I think people have forgotten what title races are like between these two clubs and in Scotland,
Good point.
especially when it goes down to the split. This is what makes the split so exciting, I feel. Where Celtic would have to go to Easter Road or Tynecastle or Pittodrie. Well, this season it's not going to be Pittodrie, but in the past. And Celtic and Rangers would drop points. So you could be 5 points clear and still lose the league. You could be 7 points clear and still lose the league at this stage, and that's the way it's been in the noughties, and from then on, and like until it got into the, I was going to say the tens. I don't even know how to call it. I mean,
I hate the noughties, man. I hate that the noughties as a decade description is just
out of
minging. I hate it,
phase.
but yeah.
What do we say for the next? Do we call the others the tens? I
I
don't
don't
even
know.
know. You know what I
Two
mean, don't you?
tens.
Yeah, but like I remember the title races of like 2008, 2007, 2009, where it went right down to the wire, and both clubs dropped points in the final six games. I think it's going to go down. I don't even think it's going to. It's obviously that those two are 6 point matches, but I don't even think that is going to be the deciding factor. It's going to be how they do against the other clubs as well, because they can drop points. I mean, Rangers lost to Motherwell at home. Celtic lost to Hearts at Tynecastle just a few weeks ago. So that I don't think they're just going to both win every single game up until the end of the season out with these two matches. I think we're back. These kind of title races that we're used to are back, and I think that's a positive for Scottish football as well.
Absolutely. There is a team who has wrapped up the title already. Falkirk fans celebrating all weekend. and actually celebrated before they kicked off at the weekend, which was brilliant. Yeah, they clinched League One title on Saturday, before the game against Montrose, and they made it a hell of an evening for them. So they moved their kickoff, or Montrose actually moved the kickoff to a 5:30 tee off
It was on
time, and they
Alba.
smut. Oh, it was on Alba. Sorry, you're right. Yeah, well done, Alba.
Alba moved the time of the kickoff.
Yeah, well, quite right too, because well, not great for Montrose fans really, because they ended up seeing their team getting smashed 7-1.
Did you see the video? So last weekend, if you missed the podcast, the episode, we had John McNally on from Falkirk Daft, the podcast. So I don't know if he posted the video or he shared it, but all the fans were in a pub before the
Oh,
game.
brilliant.
And it was just a sea of Falkirk fans, and obviously they were waiting for it was Gordon Duncan on Sky Sports reporting on the Hamilton Accies result. I mean, he's confirming what happened there. They're obviously celebrating at full time, and it was just like pandemonium, and it was brilliant.
Chaos.
I'm never a fan of not winning at the full time whistle. I think I'm kind of scarred from Scotland not qualifying on the full time whistle and watching the Spain game. I don't think I'll ever go for that one, but it was quite nice to just see that and see everyone still together at the same time. It's different if you're sitting in your house watching it on TV or you're not all together. But the fact they were all together ready to go to the game was nice, because then you could just start and have the party from kickoff that way. And what a party it
Yeah.
was! 7-1, by the way. That's
7-1, I know. And it only
so.
happened because Qu the mighty Queen of the South managed a nil-nil draw with Hamilton. So yeah, pretty good. But five years they were in League One. I mean, that's for a club the size of Falkirk, it's really good to see them back in the championship, because who knows, like, teams that go up tend to do quite well, Anthony.
Yeah, and it's a league that where you can be around mid-table and still be in the race for the playoff spot or whatever. It's always quite tight, the Championship and League One in Scotland as well. But Falkirk, yeah, they should be in the Championship, and yeah, it'll be good to see if they can make a challenge for the Premiership the season after.
I saw that the most wins they've ever had in a season is 28, which was back in 1935-36 season, which is mad. They're still unbeaten for this season. Five games left. This
They're
could
going for it.
be.
They're absolutely going for it. Why would you get to a stage and just go, ah, well, job done? You have to go for it.
It's
And I
easily
kind of,
done, though. It's easily done to
it's
down
easy to
tools.
switch
Like,
off. Yeah.
yeah. I mean, I just saw Chesterfield the other day, like, lose to Altrincham, or was it Kidderminster, who are struggling at the bottom, because Chesterfield are just, sorry, I'm just a bit of a National League nut. And they won their season like last week, and first game back and they lose, you know. It's e so easy to do.
As you're saying, they're a championship team, and they deserve to be where they are. They've got such a strong following. They're that sort of one city team, one town team, and
You're
all their
saying they're not
players.
a Premiership team, Lauren?
Hey, steady on. Just I'm looking ahead to next year.
You said they're a championship team, not me.
Aye, right now they're definitely a championship team. They deserve to be there. They've worked away. They should be there this season with this kind of squad they've got. The squad has been
Yeah.
outstanding this season, and it's a real squad effort as well that's won this league. It's not just one outstanding player hammering home all the goals, although Callum Morrison has been hammering home the goals. It's been a proper squad effort from them all. There's been like a proper spine of the team built there, and they should be really proud of themselves this year. They're going to be a good team to have in the Championship next year.
Yeah, nice. Laura, tell me an update about Scotland, because it's obviously the summer. We're all waiting for it, and we just want to wrap every single Scotland player up in cotton wool. But is there anything going on that we should be worried
Yeah,
about?
a few concerning injuries coming off the back of the international break last week. Not too concerning. None of them are serious, but it is getting to that stage now. We're in April, getting a little bit nervous. You're going to hear that certain players have got knocks, and I'm kind of getting to that stage where I'm just like, I don't want Liverpool to go far in the Europa League. I don't want Villa to go far in the Conference League. Can we just, everyone just wrap up their seasons nice and early so we can rest our boys? Yeah, a few names coming out of the break there. Ryan Christie and Billy Gilmore. Turns out they both went home with knee injuries off the back of the Northern Ireland game. He probably saw Billy Gilmore was posing with his leg in a boot in a kind of brace, watching Brighton's game at the weekend. They've confirmed that it'll be 3 to 4 weeks that he's out for. So fine. He gets a nice breakout of and hopefully comes back and he's okay after that. And then Ryan Christie, it was a really strange quote from the Bournemouth manager. He said, right, I'm going to quote this. He said, "I think he fell in the stands or playing or something like that." So he
Okay.
went home basically with a cut under his knee and it was swollen. But whether he got it in the stands or whether he got it on the pitch or whether he got it tripping over the side of his bed, we don't know. It happened at some point on international duty, and they have not confirmed how long he's going to be out for. But hopefully, a cut and a swollen knee is not too concerning. And the other one was Andy Robertson. Obviously, we saw he went off in the game. Jurgen Klopp has said it's not that bad, so that's fine. And that is
I've
the
just
extent of the detail that I can find on Andy Robertson. And I'm going to take that quote and go, I like it. That's a positive.
I've heard I've seen on the Liverpool World have said his potential return game could be Man United away on the 7th of April. That's
That's
six
quite
days
soon.
away as we're recording that
Could
right now.
there was
Unbelievable.
some fit them with a week or two off?
It is some pause.
No, I'm saying there was some positive news that Callum McGregor should be back in training this week.
Oh, really? That's good.
Yeah,
Because
because yeah,
actually, I
that's
did
good.
hear that he might be in contention for the game against Rangers.
Yes, he could be, and he might get thrown in. Yes, that's happened to him in the past, I think. You remember when he came on with the mask and everything. But
Can we stop throwing boys? People, can we stop throwing them anywhere, please? Can we just
Yeah,
be
exactly.
nice and
Well,
careful with them?
I'm saying I think for Celtic and Scotland's sake, you shouldn't rush him back. If he's not 100%, he shouldn't. But you know what he'll be like. He's captain, game at Ibrox, he'll be pushing to play. But it's good news because Rodgers, at the time of his injury, said the scans were inconclusive, and that kind of made you worry a little bit for the with the Euros coming up. But that's good news that he's coming back.
Regrets, no, it's good laugh on it. So
I didn't find it funny.
let's start things with Aberdeen, folks. 2-1 winners against Ross County. First time they've had back-to-back wins since December, which is good news for the Dons. Why have they still not got a manager, Anthony? You're the man on the pulse of Scottish news, Scottish football news. Is are they going to stick with Peter? Is it Levin or leaving?
Peter leaving, I think.
Is he leaving or is he staying?
I think he'll be staying, even if they do get a new manager in. Nobody seems to want it. That's
Oh, really?
the situation at the moment, and you can understand that slightly when their league sort of status isn't secured yet. And I guess the Ross County game changes that a little bit. It looks very unlikely that they are going to face the drop, but it certainly has hindered the process, the fact that they're are down in the relegation zone and could have been facing a playoff, no manager, especially if they're going for a manager from another country, from Europe, will want to come in and be in the Scottish Championship with Aberdeen. So look, I think Aberdeen fans are getting frustrated. There's no doubt about that. Neil Warnock sort of set that off because he misspoke when he said they were close to an appointment when he was resigning on the 9th of March. But Aberdeen didn't help that just a couple of weeks ago by putting out a statement saying that they expect to have someone in during the international break, putting that kind of time constraint on that. Just don't see how that is helpful because in football, things sometimes don't go your way, or there's so many different variables and circumstances that need to be in place for you to secure a manager or to bring someone in, especially if you're bringing them in from another country and they don't necessarily know the club or the league too well. So, and Aberdeen need to give that kind of big sell. So clearly, I mean, what's happened is that they have missed out on a number of their main targets. I mean, Jimmy Tellin at Elfsborg was one, Sopic at Rijeka, and Michael O'Neill have all ruled themselves out of the running. Michael O'Neill was just
Wow.
at the end of the week, at the end of last week,
And they were
saying he's
definitely
committed.
approached.
They were definitely on the shortlist, and they were the prime target. So what's happening now is Aberdeen are going to have to look further down that shortlist to also potentially look at people who didn't make the initial shortlist from back in March. So I mean that happens, and that this is why I think it was really silly of them to come out with a statement saying we hope to have someone in during the international break, and then Alan Burrows' update came last week, which he was quite open about the process, just saying that things haven't moved as quickly as they wanted to, which, and I always think that's good, and for someone on the board to be able to speak to the fans openly. And I think he gets that probably from his Motherwell days, as Laura will know. But it happens that clubs can miss out on their main targets. That is quite normal. I mean, we saw it with even at the top level. Look at Spurs. Ange Postecoglou was fifth choice. There's no doubt that, I mean, they were knocked back by Poch, Arne Slot, Luis Enrique, even Xabi Alonso before they went to Ange. And look at the problems Liverpool are now having. I think it was quite obvious that Alonso was their main target, but he was also Bayern Munich's main target, and he's ruled himself out of the running of both of those jobs. So it happens. If it can happen to Liverpool and Bayern Munich and Spurs, it can happen to Aberdeen. So I think
Wow.
it wouldn't surprise, not Aberdeen have clearly said they're not wanting to, they want a manager in as soon as they can, but they do need to get this appointment right. And they'd be silly to rush into it just because there's pressure now from the fans. I think they've bought themselves a bit more time with that win over Ross County at the weekend. But it wouldn't surprise me if they ended up appointing someone in the summer and Peter Whelan still in charge. They're obviously not wanting that to happen, but it wouldn't surprise me if that was the
I mean,
case.
every football fan understands that now. It's like just do it in the summer. Just get, we get it. Get to the summer, but don't stop. Just dangling a fucking invisible carrot in front of the Don's fans.
But what I found strange was the interview that Alan Burrows did for Red TV. They set out they obviously questioned that timeline and the level of expectation, and obviously the quotes from Neil Warnock who did imply, and we talked about it on this show, we all thought somebody's definitely about to come in, somebody's waiting at the door. There's a reason he has left at this time. But what Alan said was we had that expectation as well. And I thought that was a very telling line, very surprising line as well, that he came away with this. And I don't feel like a lot of people kind of picked up on that line. That to me says that their prime candidate either dropped out or they're still working on it. And from what he
Totally.
then went on to say, he implied that they're still hopeful of getting their prime candidate. Now, that could be chief exec talk. That could be to try and keep everyone happy and go, don't panic yet. The big names are still involved in talks. So we take that with a pinch of salt. But it will be interesting to see when that name does come out, how long the process has been. Because has it been stalled because of their place in the table? Or is this a completely different person they've moved on to? It's just the line of we had that expectation as well is really interesting for me.
I think like you're right, and the people that Anthony has mentioned, it's one of those where they're not going to agree to it right now. Wait until the summer, and also wait to see what sort of budget you've got and what sort of players might be moving on. Just hold out.
They could have a decent budget next season because they're going to have the £6 million that they had for competing in the Conference League. And look what that's done to Hearts for this
Yeah.
season
They've recruited so
from the
well this
season
season.
before. They got £6 million from the Conference League and they've recruited well. They've been able to put players on higher wages. They've been able to offer the likes of Shankland nearly 10 grand a week. It's cha it's like really good money. And money they wouldn't get just from playing in Scotland. So Aberdeen are going to have that this summer. And I guess they also don't want to pay too much compensation for a manager who is in a job, whereas the likes of Michael O'Neill was going to be quite a high compensation
Yeah,
if they
and
were going to
that's
go.
another negotiating tactic from a manager's point of view. they don't want to, most people don't want to go in on a 12-month rolling contract, although that is common these days. It's very, I mean, even Queen of the South have got Marvin Bartley on a 2-year deal. You know what I mean? Like, it's people want security and a little bit of backing, so that'll be interesting. Motherwell drew with St Mirren 1-1 at the weekend. Marcus Fraser opened the scoring after 18 minutes, but Theo Blair equalised deep into the second half. And Laura, I do want to ask you, with your background at Motherwell, obviously St Mirren in a better position for the race for top six, but is it over for Motherwell, do you think?
It's
Yes, great. Let's move on.
no, it's not, it's not over because for a few reasons. Well, the sensible person would look at the table and say it's over because Motherwell are sitting on 33 points with two games to go. Dundee are on 39 and Hibs are on 38. Now Dundee have a game in hand as well. They need Dundee and Hibs to lose all their games and Motherwell to win both their games. But the interesting thing to me is Motherwell's two games are against Dundee and Hibs. And Motherwell have a little bit of history of creating a little bit of drama, a lot of drama, in the 94th minute on the final day of the split.
Oh, really?
So,
Remind me why? How? What happened?
so a couple of years ago, they were 2-0 down to Livy and they needed a draw to get into the top six. It was a horrible game. They played terrible, but they got a goal back on, I think it was around the kind of 75th minute or so. And then in the 94th minute, Ricky Lamy headed home, literally the last move of the ball. And that draw got Motherwell into the top six, which ultimately got them a place in Europe. So that header was worth thousands to them in the long run. And
Hundreds of thousands.
the drama that afternoon was incredible. And it just that was the sort of day where you never say die. You go to the last kick of the ball, and you anything can happen. And that's it's just it's peak Scottish football where you just can't predict anything like that. So yeah, on paper it looks like it's over. And to be fair, I don't think anyone at Motherwell, given the first half of the season, no one really would have predicted that they would be in this position anyway. So I don't think it's a disappointment for the club not to get top six, given the overall look of how things have been going. But the fact that they're still in it at this point is a positive. And yeah, the two fixtures are huge, but they've got to rely on elsewhere, other teams helping them out at the same time. Stranger things have happened, put it that way.
So Johnston were losers at home against Dundee. Two amazing goals in this game, to be fair. The first from Lyle Cameron, who's, you know, looking like a really top Premiership player at the moment, at Dundee, scored from about 40 yards out because the goalkeeper took an absolute, shall I say, just a wee jaunt into, like, halfway into the pitch before realizing I am miles away from my goal. So still a great finish. But then St Johnstone's equaliser was a equally awesome, probably better, an overhead kick, but the power that was brought from it from Adama Sidibe was class. But I'll stick with Dundee because they were winners, unbeaten in three as well now, form they haven't seen since October. Has Dundee surprised you, Anthony? You know, Championship winners last season, amazing feat that was in the on the last day. But then they lost their manager, and Tony Docherty, I think everyone doesn't have a bad word to say about him.
They've coped really well in this first season back, and it's a real testament to Tony Docherty in his first role as a proper manager after being Derek McInnes's number two for so long. And I mean, he learned well, obviously, from Derek McInnes. But it's also a testament of their recruitment and how they've approached games. They seem to win, lose, draw. It's almost like exactly 10, 10, 10, but they've won 10 out of their 30 games this season and drawn 9 of them. That's half of the season where they haven't lost, which is if you look back at previous teams who've come straight up, that's quite a good feat that they've managed to reach. So yeah, it's always quite tight around that part of the table, like Laura was saying, how Motherwell could still make it. Dundee could end up in Europe, or they could still end up in ninth place. So it's really We could be talking about Dundee in a different way come the end of the season, but so far they have coped really well in their first season back in the Scottish Premiership, and yeah, I don't see them finishing ninth. I think they will probably continue their run of win, lose, draw, win, lose, draw.
The last time Dundee were in Europe was in 2003, in the UEFA Cup. Imagine Dundee back in Europe. That'd be class. Look, Anthony, can you take us lower down, starting with the Championship, and tell us what's been going on there?
Yeah, Dundee United extended their lead to 4 points at the top of the Championship after beating title challengers Raith Rovers 2-0 on Saturday. United manager Jim Goodwin has said his side can't get carried away, but it was a massive win for them. Also, Partick Thistle are 9 points clear in third place after their 1-0 win over second bottom Inverness. Chris Doolan's men are the second highest scorers after Dundee United. Could that confidence be crucial in front of goal in a playoff scenario? Jags fans will hope so. Dunfermline moved into the playoff positions with a 3-2 away win over rock bottom Arbroath. It's worth flagging, Airdrieonians have two games in hand, so the race for the top four finish is tight.
I'm laughing, Anthony, because you read that perfectly.
Sorry.
You just perfectly read it absolutely beautifully. That was
Thank
class.
you.
Love that. We did mention Falkirk winning the championship earlier on, so it's kind of the race for a playoff spot. So it's between really Alloa, Montrose, and Cove Rangers. One of them are going to miss out, but it's really tight between them. All three sides are in bumpy form, but Cove and Kelty are on 46 points. Alloa in third are on 48, and obviously Hamilton are in second, but are quite a distance away from those three. So it's a battle for third and fourth. Alloa actually play Montrose a week after next, and then following that they play Cove. So it's going to be a really interesting few weeks in League One for the playoff race. At the bottom, though, Annan Athletic are putting up a hell of a fight. Five games to go. They're five games now unbeaten, which is an incredible run at the right time. And even if they do find themselves in the relegation playoff scrap, I kind of feel like there's enough in the tank for them to feel confident themselves, going into that relegation decider match, whoever gets into the up from League Two. So interesting in League One, as always. Laura, tell me about League Two, please.
So, Steny missed out on the chance to also seal the title at the weekend. Obviously,
Oh,
Falkirk did.
yeah.
But Steny could have been the first. Results didn't go their way, though, so it rolls on to next weekend. They'll win it if they will clinch it if they just win their game. It's as simple as that. They're playing East Fife. But if they don't, there's still scenarios they can win it. Now, I love my permutations, so bear with me a second here. So, if they fail to win, they will still win the league if they draw on the basis pure head don't win. If they lose, they can still win, but, and this is when it gets interesting, Peterhead, Dumbarton, and Spartans all have to lose on the same day. And if the three of them lose, well, sorry, the four of them, including Steny themselves, Steny will still win the league.
Can you say that again?
Wow. Well,
So I hope you're all taking notes there because I quite enjoyed working that out.
East Fife won 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 games. East Fife are unbeaten at the moment, and they've won four out of their last five matches. So that shouldn't be easy for Steny anyway.
I want to go in the scenario where all four lose. Just because
Yes.
I just want it to be that stupid,
Well,
that stupid a scenario.
that could be that kind of smells like League Two. You never know.
And yet, at the bottom of the table, Clyde still rock bottom. They lost 4-1 to Peterhead. Stranraer and Bonnyrigg Rose, they're eighth and ninth, respectively, but they just cannot be split right now. They're equal in points. They had a one each draw at the weekend. God knows what's going to happen there because you just cannot call it between the two of them. But yeah, that's League Two.
Very nice, Laura. Love that. Well, Anthony, pleasure to have you back on, sir.
Thank you for having me on. It's always a pleasure.
I hope you have fun on the Sky Sports news desk soon. I miss you being branded, pal, when you were branded last time. That was
Yeah,
class.
In the transfer window, we can do that when
You need Nick a wee symbol and bring it home.
Yeah, I know, or a microphone thing.
Oh, we're working on that. We might have mic cubes at some point for this
Oh,
podcast. You never know. Oh, yes. Some color, pal. Some color. Laura, always a pleasure to be in your company. I'll probably be in your company over the next couple of days, actually, because I'm coming to work with you at TNT.
in real life.
In real life, IRL. Look, will I do that heart thing that freaked us all out? Does it work anymore? If anyone knows, there's a Zoom thing. If you do a heart, actually, maybe it was just for that. Was it a Valentine's Day episode? Oh, yeah, there we
All
go.
right,
Yay!
wow.
This is what people live to listen for. But yeah, in all fairness, this is the time to really switch us off. Go and listen to something else. It's probably a lot better. We're not even talking about football anymore. But thank you if you've made it this far. Goodbye.